So I'll read this question. I forget who sent this in. I'm not sure if this is the right form to ask, but I figured it wouldn't hurt. Get this, I'll go into the next paragraph. I feel like I'm mostly operating from a place of anger and resentment rather than a place of clarity and confidence. While I'm not always in this place, my frustration over her lack of desire seems to drag me there often. Afterward, I begin to notice that I become a source of tension and agitation and negative energy for her, which I know makes me even less desirable. I don't know why I allow her lack of desire for me to be the measuring stick of my happiness and self-worth. I know I'm successful, I'm hardworking, loving, caring husband and father, yet I feel like I'm only good for helping her with her college work and providing for her financial and domestic needs, which seem to be her top priorities, while intimacy, romance, and sex are not. I feel like she gives me just enough to keep me around so I continue providing for what she needs, but I know I deserve much more than that. And that's where my frustration sets in. I told her many times how I feel, and while she seems to understand me, she doesn't respond in a positive way. It comes across like I'm needy or a burden, and it seems she takes it personally when I explain my feelings to her, regardless of how I go about doing it. There's no empathy or consideration. She just listens with little expression and with seemingly no regard toward my needs. She just sits there quietly until I get it off my chest, and then we just revert back to the status quo or limbo land without giving it a second thought. Limbo land is where I place my feelings on hold and shove my needs aside and go about my daily grind. It's also when I quietly begin initiating intimacy with her again. And I do this because I still love and want to connect with her, and she seems accepting enough, so it goes on for a while until the inevitable happens. I get worn out, frustrated from doing all the work again in the intimacy department, and the cycle starts all over, and I don't want to keep doing this. It's been going on way too long, and I'm tired of it. I don't know how to break this cycle. And you're right. It comes up all the time in our groups. The reason I took the time to read that, you guys, is because I'm guessing 90% of you could have written it. Just wave your hand in the video if you could have written it. Yeah, there we go. So I'm going to ask Dan to pipe in first on this. There's a lot of information in there, and we'll spend some time on this probably.
Yeah. So the first thing to notice is that his emotions are all over the place because he still cares about her opinion of him so much. And so how she's behaving is changing how he feels about himself. And his emotions are up and down because he's constantly thinking about what she's thinking of him, and trying to find a way to get what he wants. So dealing with lots of things there, in particular, her behavior, what she's thinking, how she's feeling, that he really has no control over. And so he is constantly in flux. You know, his emotions are constantly in flux. So this session today, we're talking about emotions on the scorecard that we've got on the webpage and that we showed to you before. We're talking about emotions. And so we talk about emotions a little bit differently to where you how you might have heard of them before. A lot of people think emotions just appear out of nowhere. We believe that emotions are something that arise from what you're focusing on, what you're thinking about. And so a lot of the time when you're feeling uncomfortable or some kind of discomfort emotionally, it's coming from where your focus is. And your focus is pretty much always at its root on something that you have no control over. And so this is why you feel out of control, because you're trying to control something that you can't control at its root, which is essentially her behavior or, you know, what you want from her, a particular outcome or whatever. That's not to say you don't have influence over that. You do have influence over it, but there is no control at its root. And so you are out of control with regards to your emotions. And so taking that back to, well, how can I move forward with that? How can I stop being out of control? How can I stop feeling, you know, this kind of repeating cycle that he talks about and that we all recognize? It again is coming back to, what can you control? What do you have control over? And that boils down to how you show up, and what you want to have in your experience, and focusing on those things rather than focusing on how you're going to get them from somebody else or from some external situation, you have to look at how you're going to create those. And so you have to look at how you can create those things from you to experience. We talk about emotions. A lot of the time, emotions will be things that you feel when you are giving something. So if you want to feel love and intimacy and affection from somebody, a lot of how you feel that emotion is from you giving that in the first place. But you can only give that if you've been doing some work on yourself and building yourself up. And when I say building yourself up, really, I just mean getting back to being in a place of knowing your value, having some self-respect, knowing that you have some direction that you're heading in, having some momentum. We often talk about masculinity. A lot of the time, masculinity can be boiled right down to, I am able to make some decisions and move forward in certain directions for myself. Just that one thing, when you've been feeling so stuck for such a long period of time and so frustrated, can be a huge release of pressure.
Cool. Something else, Dan? I have something to add when you're finished.
Well, the only other thing I would say is there is a part of this, that, you know, the kind of coaching that we take guys through is understanding emotions. So not just feeling, I'm feeling this discomfort, this uncomfortable feeling, but being able to identify where does that come from? What is that emotion? You know, because for a lot of time, we've kind of been taught not to show our emotions, or that our emotions are things that are bad. And so we've learned how to suppress them. And what happens when you suppress them is they go into your kind of subconscious or unconscious. And so you don't then really understand what's going on there. And so part of that process of getting to know what the emotions are is just, okay, well, why am I feeling uncomfortable? Oftentimes it's coming from a fear or an insecurity. But until you work that back, you know, I'm feeling uncomfortable. Why am I feeling uncomfortable? When she behaves like this, it makes me feel like the relationship isn't stable, that she's looking elsewhere or whatever. Okay, that's obviously an insecurity or a fear around something or other. A lot of times it's not going to be that clear cut, but it will always boil back down, if it's an uncomfortable feeling, to some kind of insecurity.
Yeah. Every phase of the coaching process is usually uncovering a new source of insecurity. And the bottom line is, you cannot do what Dan is suggesting if you have an insecure thought process going on. If your frame of mind and your current version of reality puts you on your heels, walking on eggshells in some kind of victim mode where everything is happening to you instead of you happening to them, when you're insecure, you cannot have a generous mindset. When he says that if you want to feel love and connection and affection, how about being a man who knows how to give that? And then you'll feel the emotions that way. And some people go, well, great, give me the magic freaking pill for that one. Because when we're insecure, being generous and open-hearted and giving is the very last thing we want to do, because we're too worried about what we're not getting from others to make us feel better. So that's insecurity, and that's a big part of what we teach, is where does insecurity come from? What is the root cause of it? And how do you think of security and confidence differently so you can start to behave and think differently? There was an analogy yesterday talking to a client. He was talking about the same thing. There's no desire. Remember in that paragraph I read, he said, her lack of desire for me is pissing me off, right? Let's get real. Her lack of desire for me is making me crazy. This is like, you know, chasing around a barn cat, a real cute barn cat who just doesn't want to be touched. It's always around, but it won't let you freaking touch it. And it's frustrating. Every now and then it'll cuddle up when you least expect it. And when you least want a cat to sit in your lap, that's when it sits in your lap. Same is true for a lot of women, because you have to detach from your idea of desire is kissing and screwing, right? This is what my client said. He goes, I'm picturing, when I told him about all the different types of intimacy, right? Emotional intimacy, intellectual intimacy, spiritual intimacy, and physical intimacy, including sex, but not just sex. He said, I'm picturing 10 blocks on my coffee table from left to right. In block numbers 9 and 10 are kissing and fucking. He said, he goes, what I'm understanding is that the other 8 blocks aren't ones I ever look at. I don't pay attention to. I don't know what it means to connect with her emotionally. I don't know what it means to have an intellectually stimulating, vulnerable conversation. I don't know what spirituality means to me. So my go-to are blocks 9 and 10, touching, kissing, and fucking. And I said, well, what if those other 8 blocks are all she ever looks at? What if those are prerequisites? What if connecting in those other realms deliberately, as Dan said, a place to come from in your body, in your mind, intentionality of deciding to connect. This isn't about talking about everything. It's about connecting with her. And another question we're going to get to is empathy. So how do you do that? So we don't have all day to talk about those 8 blocks, but inside those 8 blocks are conversations. Sometimes it's just a thought. Sometimes it's a look. Sometimes it's a special favor. Sometimes it's a decision to simply not respond to something that would have normally put you over the edge. Connecting with another person, especially in a sexual relationship, means coming from a very positive, supportive, loving place, a mindset. And most of the time when we're pissed off that she doesn't desire us and it's really getting on our nerves, our body is tense, our jaws are tight, our eyes are squinted, and we slam doors when we come in the house, she knows that the only thing we care about right now is getting kissed and fucked, blocks number 9 and 10. So part of what we teach is how to get back into those other 8 blocks where you actually enjoy it. In fact, this meeting here, there's 35 people right now. We're sharing some pretty vulnerable stuff right now. We're in blocks 3 and 4 right here. This is emotional intimacy. It's a spiritual discussion about masculinity and sex, right? None of us are touching each other. We have no physical intimacy here, and we don't need to because right now we're feeling more connected just because we're being honest and real about what we're thinking and feeling. You can do this with your waitress at a restaurant, you can do it with your brother, your mother, your kids, you can do it with a homeless person on the street. You can create feelings of connection in those first 8 blocks with everyone. And one of the things that your women want to see you able to do is do that fearlessly without regard for her approval with others.